Our scripture reading for this hour's lesson is taken from the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 21. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 21. Jesus says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew ye. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Well, once again, pleasant good morning to you. So very appreciative of you being here. As Brother Troy echoed, I will echo what Brother Troy said in his announcements. To our members, thank you for being here, and our visitors alike, you are welcome and honored guests. We are just so delighted to have you. And those listening by way of radio as well, we are so delighted to have you and hope that you can join us any chance that you may have. 2500 Faulkner Springs Road is the address here of the building. We'd love to see you. And also echo as well, happy Father's Day to those that are so inclined to celebrate, whether you're an actual father or maybe just take on a fatherly role. Happy Father's Day to you. And as the segue into our lesson, this is a lesson my dad would want you to hear. I know, because he's heard me preach this lesson before. And he'd want you to hear it as well. So that's what we're going to do. We've been talking about heaven for the past handful of weeks, and Lord willing, we've got one more after this one. We start out with, what does the Bible say? The Bible doctrine of heaven. Then we went to reasons why I want to go to heaven. It is my hope, my haven, and my home. Last week, we asked a very difficult question. Can I be happy in heaven, knowing that there are going to be so many people lost? And the answer we biblically concluded is yes, because God knows what He's doing. And then today we get to the most grave of the lessons in our series. You'll suffer if you miss heaven. Lord willing, next week we'll come out of that and we'll look at how heaven is like the Grand Canyon. So just give us a thought of where we are. And really, I guess I cheated the rules, because this is really a sermon on hell in a heavenly study. Because if you miss heaven, well, hell's your destination here. So let's get into it. You know, we've all had the experience of missing something. We have all missed one thing or another. No, Angie, I didn't tell a joke. I moved on. Threw you for a loop. Because I want to get into the lesson. It's a long joke. I'll tell you after. I'm just giving you a hard time. Do you want the joke? No, I won't do it. We've all had the experience of missing something. We have missed one thing or another. Usually, though, we handle it pretty well. Sometimes we get frustrated. Think about it. You miss the bus? That doesn't matter. 15 minutes, another bus comes, right? Hey, don't worry about it. What about this one? You miss an appointment? Well, you just reschedule. Yeah, they may charge you some money, but you can just reschedule. If you miss a visitor coming by, you can go see them. You miss a phone call? It's probably a robocall. But if it was somebody actually want to talk to you, they're going to leave you a voicemail. And guess what you can do? You can hit send and call them right back. And if you miss a meal, not that many of us do, but you can always eat later. So what if you don't take lunch at 11? You can eat at 12. So sometimes we're used to missing things, if you will. But all misses are not easy to correct. For instance, if you miss April the 15th as a deadline to send the government a check with your name on it and money made out to them, you're going to be in trouble. They're going to charge you more money for not paying them the money that they owe or they deserve. If you miss a business deadline or a payment deadline, you have a penalty tacked on top of that. You owe them more money. Sometimes if you're sick and you miss a day's worth of prescription doses, guess what? You wind up getting sicker than healthier because you miss taking things you needed. What are some implications from this thought? What if you miss a home in heaven? That's a grave possibility. I want you to think about that. Is that not a terrible thought, to labor and toil this side of eternity and then not make it to heaven? What should you do if you don't get to go to heaven? That's the grave nature I want us to study today from God's Word. And we'll get through it together, hand in hand. Everything today will be said in love, but we've got to get through it. So you'll suffer if you miss heaven. You ready? Number one, sadly but true, the Bible says that some people are going to miss heaven. The Bible clearly states, according to Jesus, not everyone will be saved. Go back to our lesson text, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. For many will say to me that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name done many for wonderful works, cast out demons? Verse 23, he says, I'll profess unto them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. He says, I never knew you. So that right there tells me that not everyone's going to make it to heaven, although the majority of the world will think they will be. And according to this text, there's going to be some surprises on the day of judgment. There are going to be people who were well-meaning people, but they were biblically wrong. They're going to be surprised on the day of judgment. They're going to say, Lord, didn't I go over to the Congo? And didn't I always send money to that evangelist on TV? And didn't I always do this? And didn't I always do that? So I don't know who you are. You may have done all these good works, and I'm not knocking any of those, helping, take the lost to people, but if you're preaching them the wrong gospel, you're not helping them at all. You're making their situation worse. That's where 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5 says, but let a man examine himself to see if he's in the faith. See, notice, Paul doesn't say, let Troy examine Brad, and John examine Tojo. No. Let a man examine himself. See, it wouldn't be fair for Troy to look at Brad and say, Brad, you're not living life you ought to, because Troy doesn't know everything Brad's doing, and vice versa. He says, let a man examine himself. Sadly, there are many people who will die and have died in sin. Go with me to the book of John. John chapter 8, verse 44. Notice what Jesus says here. John chapter 8. And verse 44, he says, you, he is pointing this at his audience, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. I just counted, four, you or yours there? He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own. He is a liar, and he is the father of all lies. You are of your father, the devil. See, sadly, many people are not going to make it to heaven because they're going to die in sin. Now, there are some people, this very hour, which boggles my mind to no end, they know they're in sin, and they don't want to fix it. They know they're out there living a debaucherous lifestyle that God has said not to do, but they don't want to fix it. And then there's another group of people who do not know they are in sin. But guess what? They are still in sin. And so when a person in either of those two categories, whether they know it or whether they don't, if they die in sin, the Bible says they're lost. That should be a heart-wrenching statement. That statement alone should want to make you evangelize those in your life, those people around you, because we don't want anybody to die in their sins. In fact, we learn from Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 that it is literally sin that separates between God and man. It's not that God's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save. It's not that his ear heavy is too to hear. It's your sin separated between you and your God. Habakkuk 1 and verse 13, the prophet says that God cannot look on iniquity. And sin is iniquity. See, God can't be near sin because God is whole, pure, and just. But man filled with sin is not. Sadly, many people will die in sin because they have turned away from God. In fact, Holy Scripture states it's few that will go to heaven. There's an idea in the Old Testament of a righteous remnant that remains, a small group of God's people that He keeps along through the whole Old Testament to bring us Christ. And we see another righteous remnant that will remain in heaven. You know what Jesus says in Matthew 7, go back there, 13 and 14. He says, enter ye in at the straight gate. Why, Jesus? Because wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be which go in there that. Why? Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Many people in the world today do exactly whatever they want to, when they want to, how they want to, with whomever they want to, because they're going on that broad way that leads to destruction. And they don't have the least a bit concern or care at all for God's word and for God's holy commandment. In fact, notice what John says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 19. And you'd almost think that John wrote this in maybe 2023. But he wrote it towards the end of the first century. And we know that we are of God. But notice this. The whole world lies in wickedness. That kind of sounds like today, doesn't it? You go out and look around and people are doing wicked deeds left and right. It was the same in the days of the apostles. It was the same in the days between them and us. And before the apostles got here, all the way back to the days of Noah, when man's thought was evil continually, from the going down to the waking up. See, a lot of people are going to be lost because they don't care what God has said. They don't want to do what God has said. Again, few will be saved. I really wish that wasn't the case. I wish it was many will be saved and few will be lost. But if I told you that, and if I meant it and believed it, then I would be a false teacher. Because the Bible states that few will be saved. That's why we should make it our goal, dear friends, to be part of the few, the proud. Isn't that what the Marines, the few, the proud Marines? No, you want to be the few, the proud, the faithful Christians, what you want to be. You need to hang in there. So number one, you're going to suffer if you miss heaven. Because the Bible states that people are going to miss heaven. So then that begs an interesting question. Why? Why are so many people going to miss? If we know they're going to miss, can't we just stop them from missing? In theory, yes. In practice, they don't want to. Why? Number one, many will not obey God. Go back to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 5. Verses 8 and 9. Notice what the Hebrew writer says. Many will miss because many will not obey. The Hebrew writer says, though he, Jesus Christ, were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, being made perfect or complete. He became the author of eternal salvation and all them that obey. All them that obey him. Did you catch that? Jesus wrote the book on salvation. He's the author and finisher of our salvation to those that obey. Ah, see, there's the caveat. You must obey. There can be no salvation without obedience. Jesus Christ was obedient. We must also be obedient. He was obedient even unto death. Notice what the last chapter of the Bible, just about four or five verses away from the end. Revelation 22 and verse number 14, a beatitude that Christ says, if you will. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates of the city. Blessed are they that do what? They do, they keep, they obey His commandments. Obedience is a prerequisite to salvation. I've got to be obedient and then remain obedient in order to be saved. And many will miss their reward. Because they don't want to be obedient. They don't want to humble themselves, realize there's a higher power out there, and submit to God. Instead, they want to do it their way. And for them, it's their way or their way, because there's no other option. So number one, many people will not obey God. Number two, why will so many people miss? Because they're filled with pride. Too many people are filled with pride. I've got some Old Testament references. Dust off the book of Obadiah in your Old Testament, if you will, right before the prophet Jonah. One chapter book of Obadiah. Notice here, verse 3 and 4. Obadiah was out to preach against Edom, great, great, great descendants of Esau. The pride of thine heart, Obadiah 3, has deceived thee. that thou dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou exalt thyself as an eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, says the Lord. See, Edom had a problem. Edom was filled with pride. Edom is like a lot of people in the world today. They are so prideful. Not to get off on a tangent, but people right now are even celebrating how prideful they are and what a shame and disgrace in the eyes of God. Amen. Pride is destruction. Pride goes for destruction, he says. Many people are too proud to admit that they're wrong. Many people are caught up in themselves, and in doing so, they only lead to their destruction. Let's go again to another Old Testament prophet, the one of Zephaniah. Keep going. Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. So you're about four books away from the end of the Old Testament. Look here in Zephaniah, if I can hit my thing right. Zephaniah chapter 2, beginning in verse number 10. Zephaniah is talking to the inhabitants of Judah. This shall they have for their pride, because they have reproached and magnified themselves against the people of the Lord of hosts. The Lord will be terrible unto them, for he will famish all the gods of the earth. Men shall worship him, every one from his place, even all the isles of the heathen. Ye Ethiopians also be slain by the sword. He will stretch out his hand against the north, destroy Assyria, make Nineveh a desolation, and dry like a wilderness. Flocks shall lie down in the midst of her, all the beasts of the nations, both the cormorant and the bittern, shall lodge in the upper lintels of it. Talking about different kind of birds, pelican and like. Desolation shall be in the thresholds, shall uncover the cedar work. This is the rejoicing city that dwelt carelessly, that said in heart, I am, and there is none beside me. How she is slain, or become a desolation, a place for beasts to lie down in. Everyone that passed by her shall hiss and wag his hand. See, they were filled with destruction, or they were filled with pride that led to their destruction. The city of Assyria, the city of Nineveh, these great massive cities would be a place where wild animals would live once again. Oh, we must be careful. They said, I am, there's none beside me. Kind of remind me of what Muhammad Ali said, right? I am the greatest. Well, you may have thought he was. Well, the greatest is God. Notice James 4:6, God resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the lowly. Pride will cause many people to miss heaven. Take heed, Paul says, 1 Corinthians 10:12, lest you fall. Must be careful. Pride is going to keep people out. We move on. Why will so many people miss heaven? Because they plain and simple, they just refuse to live a faithful life. They just refuse. They don't care at all. In 2 Peter 1 and verse 10, he talks about presumptuous things, if you will. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10, notice this here. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Give diligence. Take heed. Pay extra special attention. For if, notice, big if, conditional if, if you do these things, you shall never fall. What are those things? Go back to verse 5. Add your faith, virtue, knowledge. You go down this list. You climb the ladder into heaven, if you will. But you must do these things. John 8:31, he says, if you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed. Once again, if. Must continue in God's word. Why? Romans 11, verse 22, Paul says very aptly and succinctly, behold the goodness and severity of God. On some were obedient goodness, on those that fell, severity. See, God is the God of love, but God is also the God of justice and vengeance upon those who do not His will. So many people, they're not going to make it to heaven because they don't want to live a faithful life. But our last reason, and we'll move on. Many people are going to not make it to heaven because of their sin. We've already mentioned Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Your sins have separated between you and your God. James 1, 13 through 15, a progression of sin. Sin brings forth death. The culmination is death. Sin is a reason that many people will not enter into heaven. People who want to do what's right. People who love the Lord and will tell you they love the Lord. They will not go to heaven because they love their sin just a little bit that they're involved in more than they love the Lord. And they're not willing to take the sin out of their life to put God at a higher place. So many people will miss heaven because of sin. Because they don't even want to live faithfully. Pride will keep them out. And then they won't obey. So that leads us to our last statement. Point number three. You'll suffer if you miss heaven. What to do? What should you do? Or I better should say, what will happen to you if you miss heaven? Well, you're going to have to think about some things once you get there. You're going to think about, maybe for instance, how you no longer have an opportunity to obey the gospel. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2, now is the day of salvation. Today, as we sing in the song, is the day of salvation. What? Tomorrow may be too late. Remember there in the book of Acts, chapter 24 and verse 25, Paul before Felix, he said, when I have a more convenient season, I'll call on thee. And I don't read of a more convenient season in Holy Scripture showing for him. What about Agrippa? In Acts 26 and verse 28, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. To be almost persuaded is to be completely lost. So you have no more opportunities to obey the gospel. No more invitation songs to come down the aisle, make your life right. You have to think about how your fate is now sealed. In whatever state you die in, that's the state that you will appear before the Lord. You'll have time to think. Think about all those times you spurned the invitation. How many times you white-knuckled the pew in front of you and didn't want to make your life right. It happens. Or you hold the songbook so hard doing this. We've seen it. Think about all those times that you caused trouble to your family or your church family. You'll have time to think about how you rejected. Jesus said you must believe, how you must repent, you must confess, be baptized and remain faithful. You'll have time to start thinking about these things because it's too late then. But not only will you think, you get to feel some things. Let's run some of these references here. You know, the Bible speaks more about hell than it does about heaven for a reason. It's a warning not to go there. What are you going to feel? Go back to Matthew chapter 25 and verse number 30. The first thing you're going to feel is the gnashing of teeth. Matthew 25 and 30. Be cast into outer darkness. We'll come back to that one. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, I hope you don't suffer from this. And if you do, maybe you've got a way to get that fixed. There are some people who they don't rest well at night because all they're doing is grinding their teeth all night long. They make a mouth guards that people can wear and fix that. Maybe you know somebody like that. They tell me that's a miserable way to try to sleep because you just all night long just grinding the back of your teeth idly. It's going to be something like that constantly with no end. They're going to be gnashing of teeth, just clamoring. I don't know if you're like me. I've got sensitive teeth. And if you take a wrong bite, that pain just shoots through you. You don't want that for an eternity, I tell you that. You're not going to have any rest. We've looked in this series already in Revelation 14, 9 through 11 about how the faithful will rest from their labors. Well, conversely then, the unfaithful, you get no rest. I tell you, nothing better feeling to me than putting in a hard day's worth of work. And maybe it's a longer day than you meant for it to. And you finally come home. And if you're like me, you take your shoes off. You go change. Take the belt off. Taking the belt off, my favorite part. You put on comfortable clothes. I can sit there and just relax. You don't get that there. You put in a hard day's worth of work. You got to go out and do it all over again. There is no rest in hell. You're going to feel great pain. Stay with me, Matthew 25. Go down to verse 46. These shall go into everlasting punishment. Never ending punishment. Pain from Satan himself. You will feel that you're in torment. You know, the rich man in Luke chapter 16, 19 through 26. He knew He opened up his eyes in hell and he knew he was in a place of torment. He knew he was in a place that he didn't want to spend eternity for, but it was too late for him. Go back to Matthew 25 and verse 41. You will feel you're in the place of the devil. He will say to those on the left hand, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." So you're going to feel that. Some weeping, some gnashing of teeth. And you'll start to grope and to grind because you're in everlasting, you're in outer darkness. Go back to Matthew 25 and verse 30. The unprofitable be cast into outer darkness. I'm not going to lie, I far much enjoy being outside in the light than I do in the dark. And I'm glad we have light bulbs and street lights. You know, that makes it tolerable. But given the choice between the two of them, I would rather be outside in the daylight. That's just me. It's in the night. You never really know what's around unless you got a light everywhere all at once. It's a whole lot easier to see something dangerous in the day. You're going to be cast into outer darkness. I think about maybe you've been to a place like Cumberland Caverns and they'll take you all the way in that back room and then they're going to tell you, "Don't be alarmed. I'm going to turn the lights off." You've been in a cave when they turn all the lights off? That's kind of a startling moment. And then they tell you, "Put your hand in front of your face," and you do, and you can't even tell it's there. That really doesn't even begin to describe outer darkness. It's darker than that. That's a place that you don't want to go to. Luke 16 and verse 26 says there's a great gulf fixed between the two so that one can't go to the other side. See, rich man wanted to go where Lazarus was. Father Abraham said, "You can't do that. Where you are, over here in torment, there's a divider from the good place. And you can't swap sides. You can't even go for a visit." See, there's nothing but frustration and pain. There's other passages. We won't get into them today, but just think about it. Next time you read when Jesus talks about the punishment pronounced on people. He says it's a place where their worm dieth not. Not the worm. It's almost like it's a personal affliction. It's a terrible place. And you get to share things. Because others are going to be there with you. You won't be alone in hell. There'll be a whole lot of people with you. Notice Revelation 21 and verse 8. Here's just some of the list of people that will be there. Your eternal neighbors, if you will. Revelation 21:8. The fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in a lake which burns with fire and brimstone. That is the second death. These are your eternal neighbors. You get to live forever with whoremongers and unbelievers and drunkards and idolaters. I don't want to share that with them. Yet, that's what's going to happen. But one more thing on this point. I want you to realize, once you get there, there's nothing positive you can do. It's all over. It's too late. At that point, it's too late. At that point, there's nothing you can do. You can't even use the old cliche, "If I had to live my life over again, I'd done this different." Because it doesn't matter whether you would or wouldn't have. If you miss heaven, there's nothing you can do to fix it. There is nothing. Absolutely no pleading, no begging. So I guarantee you in Luke chapter 16, that rich man begged as hard as he could. He wanted to go back and warn his brothers. He said, "No, they got the law and Moses. Let them hear them." Once you get there, it's too late. No more hope. Hope is gone if you make it to hell. That's what you can expect to go there. How's that for a fun travel brochure? Makes you want to sign up to go today, right? No. Hopefully it's the opposite. But hang with me in our conclusion. Boy, do I have some good news for you. You don't have to go there. You don't have to miss heaven. You have an opportunity to make your life right today and obey the gospel. Hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized. Don't let this be one of those where you white-knuckle the pew and say, "I'll do it later." You don't know if that's coming. You have an opportunity to turn over a new leaf and repent of those sins that's keeping you from God and return and be faithful. You have an opportunity now to obey. What do you do? What will you do? What can you do if you miss heaven? Nothing. You'll be eternally lost. You'll suffer. And that's it. We sing a song, "What Will You Do With Jesus?" The answer comes to you. We're going to sing, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord," as our invitation song. Hear me, friend. If you hear nothing else, don't miss heaven. I don't know how plainer and more clearly I can relay this to you. Don't miss heaven, or you'll have all of eternity to regret it. And wouldn't that be a shame? Let the Lord have His way. Become obedient to Him today. Return unto Him today. Let us pray with you and pray for you. And don't miss heaven for the world. If we can help you in any way at all, wherever that need may be, we humbly ask you, let it be known while we stand and while we sing.